Tell me this, what agent wouldn't want a client that consistently buys multiple homes every year? I mean, if you're not working with investors and it's not part of your business plan, you're literally leaving thousands of dollars on the table for some other agent to come and pick up.
This is not a drill.
This is the Agent Mind Podcast. All right, once again, the Agent Mind Podcast. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Today we got a great topic. I'm TJ McGraw. We got our co-host James Dickey here with us today. Today is going to be about working with investors. There's just such an opportunity there. Investors are always buying. If there's a deal, investors are always buying. So it doesn't matter what the market looks like. It doesn't matter if the market's up, market's down, sellers market, buyers market. Doesn't matter. Investors are always buying. The caveat is though, if there's a deal. So some of y'all might be thinking out there like, I don't work with investors. They're pain in the butts. They want to ridiculously, lowball offers all the time. And they're just a pain in the butt to work with. Well, I can tell you this right now that a lot of investors are thinking the same exact thing about you, that you're a pain in the butt. And really what it boils down to is miscommunication and misunderstanding on both sides of the roles and what value you bring as an agent. You have to bring different value to the investor than the value that you would bring to a regular old home buyer. So we're going to talk about that today. That's it. I'm going to stop talking with the intro here. Let's just dig right in. James Dickey, what's up, man? How's it going?
It is going great, man. How are you doing today?
Awesome. It's always a pleasure to have you on co-hosting the Agent Mind Podcast.
Yeah.
Excited about today. We're going to talk about investors, working with investors, converting investor leads into clients, and kind of building that relationship. Because it's a little bit different. I think it's worth talking about because although the basics of what we do is relatively the same, but there's a little bit of a different mindset when it comes to investors.
What is the difference between a typical client that we work in residential as opposed to investors?
The biggest difference between working with a family when you're looking for a home that they're going to be living in, maybe raising their family in, and working with an investor is that the investor oftentimes has no emotion attached to it. It's just a business transaction for them. With the family, there's a lot more emotions involved. An investor, it's a business transaction. So oftentimes, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If the numbers don't work, that's it. Walk away. They can walk away a lot easier because they haven't like fallen in love with the property. If they can make the numbers work, if they can get it for what they want to make their, that fits into their like buy box, so to speak, then they're going to go ahead forward with it. If they can't, they're going to walk away and go on to the next one. So I'd say that's the biggest difference.
Yeah. But I think it's the, what you said from the very beginning, it's the, what kind of investment do they have in the property? They're looking at it as a financial investment as opposed to somebody who wants to live in there. So that's really one of the big differences, like you said.
Right. Yeah.
Where do you find investors that to work with in this market?
Oh, well, I tell you what, there's a bunch of different ways. Now, if you're fielding leads and you're prospecting, you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to come across people that are interested in investing at least, or you may come across an investor through your normal operation of being an agent. I'm guessing that anybody that's been doing this for even a few months, calling buyer leads, has come across somebody that's like at least thinking of investing, whether they can or they're in a position to do or not. So you probably come across them. So that's one way. Just keep an eye out for them and then don't be afraid of them. But I think today, hopefully we can kind of give you a little advice on how to speak to them, because you got to speak to them a little bit differently. Don't be intimidated by it. It's just like they're looking for different information. You know, they're not necessarily looking to see if the backyard is going to be good for kids to play in. They're going to be thinking, how much can I rent this for? How much do I have to put into it? So a little bit different there. That's kind of the first way we kind of come across investors. I'm working with an investor now, repeat client. They came through off of an online lead, and it was the first text message I had with them, because I sent a text message because I was in the middle of something. In the middle of an appointment, I think, with somebody else. But the first text message I reached out to them, they responded back like, I want to make an offer this amount of money for this house. I'm like, oh, this has got to be a joke or something like that. So I called them, got him on the phone and like, yeah, sir, I made an offer within about, I would say 45 minutes of getting that lead in. I made an offer. And because I kind of jumped and did that and just, I didn't really ask any questions, and I've already worked with investors before. So just like, okay, this is a business decision. Let's get this offer in. I knew that the offer wasn't going to stick, or I had a hunch it wouldn't. And it didn't, but then we went on moving. We bought other properties and sold properties, and I'm getting ready to list one of the properties right now. But so that's definitely one way to do it. Another way is look for real estate investor meetups in your area. That's a great way to meet investors, 100%. And just your sphere as well. Like it's having conversations with your sphere about real estate. It's most people, I would say 8 out of 10 people in your sphere have thought about investing in real estate at one point or another. So just talking about it with them, not being pushy, obviously, but just having the conversations about what it looks like. And as soon as they allude to, they want to own a rental property one day, then you can kind of go down the road. Well, what does that look like? You can get into these conversations with your sphere. And a lot of times it can make sense. They just need a little bit of education from you as far as what the market's doing and how easy it might be to get to acquire a property for sure. So I'd say those are the three biggest ways to do it. The most intimidating might be going to the meetups,
the meetups and the networking.
Yeah. That might be the most intimidating because investors kind of can tend to look at agents either with a love hate relationship or, like they don't need agents at all relationship.
Well, again, that kind of leads me into my next question really is, why do real estate agents get a bad rap investors?
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, there's many reasons. All right. We can definitely say many reasons, but oftentimes an investor is more savvy about the market. They understand the market better than the average person or average family that buys a house maybe once, twice, three times in their entire life. So, because they're buying and selling houses all the time, probably a couple a year if they're investors. If not, they're definitely buying houses and buying real estate more often than the average person who's not an investor. So that knowledge, gives investors empowerment to make offers on their own where they don't really feel like they need a real estate agent. And some don't. There really are investors out there that don't need an agent for most things. I think that let me put it this way. There are investors out there that understand the value that agents bring to the table, and they're willing to pay for that value. They understand like what an agent does as far as marketing, the sale, finding houses, helping. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but bringing deals to them, like they understand that the value, and a lot of them do, but they don't necessarily want to be tied to one agent. They don't want to be, if they can do it on their own, they're going to do it on their own. Like if they get a deal from a wholesaler, then you're not going to get that deal, which is totally fine. You should be totally fine with that. You can build your relationship with investors in a different way. Even if it's someone that is against realtors and they think that all realtors are out there like used car salesmen, just trying to skim off their deal, which unfortunately, because we don't know as an industry, most of us don't know. I'm not knocking anybody. It's just, this is why we're having this mm-hmm. episode. Most agents don't really know how to serve investors. So we come across as like, oh, let me work for you. Let me get in on your deal. Let me do this. Let me do that. Like, I don't need you because I can find my own deals. I don't need you because I can sell my own houses. I don't really need you. But so trying to help, you have to bring different kind of value to an investor than you do a family that's looking for, a family home.
How do you handle the conversation about commission? Well, how you get your worth? How do you define that?
Yeah, good question.
To an investor.
That's a great question. And most investors are going to, this is what they're going to say. If you start working with an investor, hey, you're going to make a ton of money off of me. I mean, what can you do? What kind of deal can you give me? And some of that's true. Like currently I'm working with an investor right now. I'm taking, I'm cutting my commission, which if you hear me talk in any other situation, like don't cut your commission. You're not, you have to explain your value. However, when I'm working with investors, and I have two or three of them right now that are actively buying and selling, and I will cut my commission for them because I know that they're going to use me again, or they have used me several times in the past. So I'll cut it a little bit. Now it's the same conversation that you're going to have with a homeowner. That's you're at a listing appointment when you're asked to cut your commission. It's really the same conversation of, well, here, this is what I bring to the table. This is all the marketing I do. This is how I operate. This is what I do. I negotiate these kind of deals when we're buying a house. I manage the whole transaction. Like, you don't have to worry about anything. I'm going to give you all the information. With investors, I highly suggest you at least learn how to crunch the numbers that they're crunching. And every investor has their own like way of calculating whether a deal is good or not. But here's a couple of things, and we're not going to go too deep into it right now. But if you're out there listening, Google what is the 70% rule when it comes to flipping houses. That's a key one to know. The 1% rule when it comes to buy and holds. Those are probably the two biggest to know. There's others out there. And know that there's you have to factor in capital expenditures, meaning a house could be cash flowing. Say a house is cash flowing at $100, or you think a house is cash flowing at $100 a month because the rent is $1,100 and the mortgage is $1,000. Well, in reality, that house is not cash flowing at all. You're probably in the negative because things are going to have to be replaced. Carpets will have to be replaced. Place will probably need to be painted in between tenants. The heating and air conditioning could go out. The roof needs replacing. So all this stuff needs replacing. So you kind of have to factor that in as well when you're thinking about the numbers. So just learning a little bit about that. There's some great resources out there. The Bigger Pockets podcast is a fantastic resource. There's plenty of YouTube videos out there to just give you the basics. You don't need to know all the terminology when you're first getting into working with investors, but you should definitely know those two calculations, 70% rule and the 1% rule when it comes to buy and holds. So in essence, when you're talking about commission with an investor, it depends. I would normally, if I'm working with a new investor, we're developing a relationship, I'm not going to cut the commission all that much. But what I do say is, listen, I'm going to show you how it works, how I work. I'll cut commission by whatever percentage you're comfortable with. And, we've got to be careful when we're talking about commissions, just because everything that's going on with lawsuits and NAR and all that, it is negotiable. Put it that way. Your commission is negotiable. So negotiate your commission. You should be negotiating for as much commission as you can possibly get. Like that's part of it. And the investor is going to be negotiating to pay you as little as possible. Like that's okay. That's how it works. It's not anything personal, but, so I'll cut it a little bit. I might cut like half the normal when I'm starting to work with somebody. I'm not going to talk about specific percentage amounts. You have to determine that as an agent out there, what you're comfortable with, what you can actually sustain as a business model. So I'll cut a little bit on the next deal. I'll cut even more, and then I'll kind of keep it at a little bit lower rate. I don't cut it by that much. So let's put it that way. Yeah. I want to give them a deal because we're doing repeat business and I want to establish a relationship. For me, it's easier if I'm working with the same person over and over again, it's easier for me to work forward with that person. So
yeah,
I just have systems in place. I have their special stipulations that I know that they're going to use. I have them in a document. So whenever I'm making offers, it's boom, boom. It's an easy process. Send it off for e-signing and boom, it gets out and offered. So it's a little more streamlined when you work with somebody over and over again, because you know what they're going to ask for, you know what they want, you know the special stipulations to put in there. And you've already had the conversations about the earnest money. So you got all those like conversations out of the way. So it's really simple, streamlined. You can have like, forms, purchase and sale agreements, like kind of set up for them already. And then you just go in and plug in the address and all that stuff and send it off. So, and you don't have to, a lot of times you don't have to be running around showing them houses either. You just make offers, you know, without going to see places. So it's really not, you're not working as much. If you're doing it right and you're managing yourself and your clients, you're not working as hard or as much as you would with a family that wants to, that needs to go out and see every house and needs to go visit the neighborhood and you know, all that stuff. So that's a long way of saying, like, yeah, if you got a repeat client that's going to do multiple deals with you within a year, I think that's really one of the only situations that I would, you know, offer up a little bit of cut in commission.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a great answer, but I got one thing that leads into that as well, because you have a couple of investors you work with. What do you do as an agent when they work with somebody else as well, not just solely you, but they use a different agent, or they refuse to sign a buyer's broker agreement, you know, what do you do then?
Yeah. So yeah, that's a great question, because they just want a deal. And it's not going to bother me if another agent comes with a deal, or somebody else comes to the to my investor that I'm working with a deal. If it makes sense for them and it works for them, I'm happy for them. But what I can tell you is that I'm out there and I'm looking for deals for my investor clients. I know where they bought before. I know what kind of house they're looking for. Like, I have the term buy box, which is often when you're talking about like an iBuyer or investors, yep. It's like they have a box, you know, that their criteria fits in. And if it's outside that box, then they're not going to look at it. They're not going to be interested in it. If the house fits all the criteria that's inside their box, then yeah, I'm going to reach out and talk to them. And this is for stuff like outside, not on the market yet. Maybe, you know, if I haven't talked to an investor in a while, I might reach out and be like, hey, there's some expireds over here. Like, you know, are you interested? You want me to reach out and see if they're still interested in selling? That kind of thing is like, you just want to work harder than any other agent for them. But if you think about it, you're just doing your normal everyday stuff, just keeping in contact with your past clients. So if you could look at it that way, it's pretty simple. One thing I do that works really well is I've helped my investors purchase, and then I will keep an eye on the neighborhoods that they purchased in or the area that they purchased in. And if something, I think a couple of weeks ago, I saw a house that was probably about three doors down from a house that I helped an investor buy maybe 2 years ago, two or 2.5 years ago. A house just came up on the market that was just down the road from them. It was in his price point, it was in his price range. I know he buys in the area because we bought a house just on the same street. Mm-hmm. And I know that home is doing well for him because I check in and make sure that, you know, what are you getting for rent? You know, what, all this stuff, just to keep in contact with him, I'm certainly interested in that because it helps me with the other clients, other investors, and B, I'm genuinely interested to make sure that he got a good investment, or he got the investment that we were expecting him to get, he or she. But so I called him, I said, hey, this house down the road, it was like 130 Steel Branch Drive. That it just listed. They're asking, I forget what they're asking for. It was pretty low for in metro Atlanta area. It's like 155 or something like that. Smaller house, you know, great for a single family rental home. But, he was so happy, and he went into a big explanation about when he's going to be ready to buy again. He told me about all his properties that he has going on. Some he bought from a wholesaler. Some didn't do very well. He unloaded some to other investors, you know. So a long story short is, like, if an investor is doing a deal with somebody else, I'm not going to get upset about it. I'm not going to waste time in my brain like thinking, oh man, that should have been my deal, because it shouldn't have been your deal. If it should have been your deal, then you would have found the deal and brought it to him. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that doesn't mean that they're not going to work with you again. And oftentimes, if you're working hard for somebody and you're doing the things like reaching out and informing them about the neighborhood, calling them with properties, you know, just keeping them informed, they're going to use you most of the time. They're going to stay loyal to you. They will, unless they're like horrible people. As long as if you're loyal to them and you're working hard for them, they're going to be loyal to you. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to buy get a deal from somebody else. They might go directly to, you know, an agent that has a listing and just say, hey, you know, I'll whatever with commission, I won't use an agent. And you get, you know, you get the commission or whatever, just to get a deal on the house. So
right.
it is what it is. Don't investors are a different breed. They're not thinking that they're doing you any wrong, because they're really not. I mean, they got to look out for their business. So, you know,
yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, like you're talking about, it's really all you can control is your own mindset.
Exactly. But I mean, get out there, go to work. I know that's for some agents, that's a dirty word. Go to work and it's called bird dogging. So bird dogging means you're bringing deals to invest. You're finding houses to buy off market for investors to purchase. I will do that. I'll find a house, bring it to an investor, and then knowing that I'm not going to make a lot on that purchase. Like if you buy a house for 80, 90 grand, you're not making a big, huge.
Not a lot.
No. You know what I mean? But I know that I'm going to get paid on the sale of the house. So, you know, I get the full, you know, whatever percentage. I'm not cutting a deal really on the purchase side, but on the sale side, that's why I get paid again. So, and then, you know, then if that works out well and I do a good job with that, then of course we're going to find another house and we're going to do all this. So, one other thing too, learn about 1031 exchange. All right. And learn about that. Google it, talk to your closing attorney about it. There's just like a document that you need. Usually, I'm not sure, every state's a little bit different with what the documentation is, but there's just something with the paperwork that you need. And that's really, you don't have to do much else than that as an agent, other than just know that there's time limits and all that stuff. So, that's just a side note. So basically bird dog, meaning be the bird, like what a bird dog does, they go get the birds and bring them back to the hunter after, you know, they shot. So when you have a home that you know is good for investment, I mean, don't walk away from it. Like build relationships with investors. And even if they don't use you, you can still there build a whole list of buyers that when you come across a home, you get a listing lead and it's somebody that really wants cash quick. The house is in disrepair. It might be a hoarder situation. They just need to pay off some bills. Call these investors and be like, hey, I have a deal, you know, are you interested? Is this, give them the criteria. You'll find somebody that way. And the more you do that, the more of a reputation you're going to have as someone who works with investors, and the more investors are going to seek you out or use you.
What do you think about real estate agents becoming investors?
Do it. If you can do it, do it. Yeah. I think that it's going to give you awesome credibility when you're working with investors, because they know you're an investor. You're kind of one of them at that point. And also you know what they're going through as far as like making business decisions, and you'll just have a better insight on what they're looking for. And I mean, there's no greater way to build wealth, I think, than real estate. So if you have the means and you can do it, I say go and invest in real estate. We're so connected to the industry and so connected to the market that we should be investing in properties and building wealth that way. So for sure, I think it's one of the best ways to build wealth is to own real estate. Next week, I got an agent coming on that does investing and is very involved with being an agent and investing. He's flipped a bunch of houses. So we'll talk more about the strategies with him. But if you have the will and the way, invest in real estate. It's fun and you learn a lot and you can build wealth at the same time. But you know, don't, if it's not something you're into, then don't force yourself into it. There's other ways to make money. You know what I mean? So you gotta have a passion for it. I assume that most agents have a passion for real estate because that's what we do. That's what we know.
So why else be it?
I would question, if you weren't interested in investing as an agent, I would question why you're in real estate to begin with. I mean, you know, you never know, but so I guess that's about it. I know we're going to talk more, and there's more questions I'm sure that everybody, all the listeners have about investing. We're definitely going to talk more next week. This is part one. So we'll just go from there. In the meantime, if you have questions you want me to ask this agent investor that's coming on the show next week, send me an email, tjmcgraw@theagentmind.com. Send me an email and shoot me some questions you want to know from the agent that we're bringing on. Or go to the Facebook page, The Agent Mind Facebook group. And if you're not a member, join and ask the question in there. Shoot me a direct message. Whatever the case may be, if you have questions, reach out. And we'll get them asked on the episode next week.
All right, man. That sounds good.
And with that, we'll wrap it up. We'll see y'all next time. We'll see y'all on the flip side.